Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Father, that we have the word in writing that we can refer to, that we can look at, that we can reflect upon, the word that we can meditate on, the word that as we think of it and as we speak it and as we mull it over, the word will talk to us today. The word will show us today what we need to do. You will lead us through your word even today. We thank you for that. Father, we just don't have your word. We have you living inside us by your spirit, and you reveal to us the truth. And Father, I pray tonight that there'd be a revelation of truth for each of us, that we would see, Father, what we have not seen that we need to see. We ask you to open the eyes, Father, of our hearts, to flood them with light so that we might see tonight in Jesus' name. Revelation come, light come, insight, understanding, clarity come to us tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you for wisdom. We want to know what it is that you see. We want to know what it is that you'd have us to do. And we ask you for that tonight. In these next few moments, may they be filled with understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're continuing tonight talking about catalysts to change. I've talked about two catalysts to change. The first part was the turn. We talked about that two Wednesdays ago, and then last week we continued on with the topic and talked about how we had to change from the inside out. We had to change our minds. Change is not really lasting change unless it happens on the inside. But tonight I'm going to go, you know, talk about a third part, tonight's lesson three in this. And this is the lesson I've been waiting to get to. This is the lesson I started the series for, so I'm kind of excited. So good for me. If you will, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to actually read in the message, so if you don't have the message, it may not make a lot of sense as you read along, but you can turn there, or you can follow on the screen, because my main man Ian is back there. Thank God for Ian. Wednesday nights, he shows up here. He does these scriptures. Thank God. And so he's going to be running these scriptures. And Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, or in the message, it reads this way. It says, it's better to have a partner than go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth, and if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in a bed warm each other. Alone, you shiver all night. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. Boy, is there wisdom in this. Ecclesiastes, as you know, is part of the book of wisdom, one of the books of wisdom in the Bible. And there's so much wisdom in this, that it's better to have a partner than to go it alone. And we've been talking about different catalysts to change. And tonight we're going to talk about the fact that you need a team. You need other people. We cannot change on our own. Even though we've all, you know, attempted in the past to make changes of some sort, and some have been successful and some haven't. As we look forward to what changes we want to make in our life and different direction we want to go in, and we want to change the course of our life, it involves other people. And if you're going to make lasting change, like we talked about last week, it starts from the inside. But I'm going to tell you another part of you making real change is it's going to involve other people. You need a team of people that are for you, that are with you, that are on your side. And so that's what we're talking about. And here in the writer, Solomon, likely writing here in Ecclesiastes, he just gave it. I mean, this seems like just such a simple understanding. If you fall down and there's somebody with you, they can help you get up. And the reality is, no matter what kind of change you're attempting to make tonight, you should just start with the notion that you're going to fall down at times. There are going to be times you slip up, or at least come really close to slipping up. There are going to be times you certainly want to not make, you know, to not follow through with the changes you're making. And at a time like that, that's when it would be really great if you had a partner, if you had somebody else. And maybe not just one partner, at least one, but maybe not even one. The last part, it talks about a cord of three. So you may not want a team of 20, but you might want two or three. You know, you might, of you together. So It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But we don't always think about it. We have this thing called self-reliance. A good Bible word for that is, pride. And we talked about it the first night, about if we want grace, we have to humble ourselves. And so that pride that we all have, that's part of our fleshly nature, part of the human side of us, that pride says to us, we can do this and we can do it ourselves. We can do it alone. And I want to prove to you that I can do it. I want to show you that I can do it. I want to prove to myself I can do it. Well, you're just setting yourself up for failure when you go into something with that attitude, because you're not humble at all. You're just, look at me, what I can do. And so you're going to need to face the fact that you need other people. God never, ever meant for you to live, you know, as an entity unto yourself. Everything we read in the scripture about God's intention for man was, from the very beginning, was about relationship. The first need that God saw that man had was he needed a companion. And then you read about the body of Christ. It's so interesting. God did not have us born into individual little pods unto ourselves. We are, in the eyes of God, we are all one. We are all identified as being one body together. And we don't normally think of that. We're just so aware of ourselves. But we are connected. And even in Ephesians 4, when the Bible says he gave gifts unto men, and it talks about, you know, the ministry gifts, we call them apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And it goes on to talk about how the body, how people will function. And it talks, it doesn't even talk about anybody in the church as an individual. It talks about what joints will supply. And a joint has two parts. An elbow is where two parts come together and function and work together. And the same thing with a knee. So even in the body of Christ, God never, ever designed for us to do something on our own. And then when, it's interesting, when Jesus sent out, when he did the first sending out, what did he do? Here you've been reading. When Jesus first sent them out, did he send them out as individuals? What did he do? He sent them out in twos, in pairs. Isn't that interesting? You don't find a whole lot in the Bible where God's just encouraging individualism. He is always looking at man and seeing man's need for companionship, man's need for relationship, and that we desperately need each other. Now, all of us are aware that we have faults. We have weaknesses. Am I the only one in here that's aware of great weakness? You know, and a really great message I heard once from Tony Cook, a minister that we know. He talked about how God designed us. Now, just as when I bring it up, I lose the word. That we are weak, we are insufficient. What is the word? By design. That we are deficient. There's the word. See, I couldn't even preach tonight by myself. No, that we are deficient by design. That God designed us to in ways that we are lacking, that we are, I'm not saying we're not whole, but I'm saying just that we ourselves in our design and in our makeup, that we fulfill a certain role that is dependent on other people fulfilling their role so that we can work together. And that's how, but just as individual parts of your body, what good tonight is your eyeball if it was all on its own? Honestly, we could sit here and marvel at the, you know, at the one wonder of an eyeball, but if it's not connected to a brain, it has nowhere to send an image. I mean, you just think about how silly it would be if that's all we had. We just had this one little part, but when you put it all together, you have something marvelous. Isn't that true? It all works together. So that's all of us, and we don't necessarily like this. And when we start gearing up to change, we don't think in these terms, but we need people. Now, I'll give you an example. Nate, as y'all have noticed, he hobbles around because he tore something in his knee, and then he had this surgery, and they put this brace on him, and it's this kind of ordeal he's been going through. And so he had this surgery, and they gave him some great promises that in 8 weeks you're going to be running on a treadmill. And he's going, you know, I don't see how that's going to be because I can't put one bit of weight on it. But you're telling me I'm going to be jumping on it in so many weeks and then running. I don't see how this is going to be. So they did the surgery on him and sent him home. Isn't that great? They did the surgery on him and they fixed him. Isn't that awesome? So then they send him home, but he's still in pain. In fact, he's in more pain than he was before. And they give him some heavy drugs that are kind of making his head a little fuzzy. And he's swole up worse than he was. So he's like, am I getting any better? But here's the thing. They sent him home and they told him twice a day, you need to do these exercises. If any of y'all ever been through any kind of surgery like what he went through, maybe you've been through this. And they give him these exercises he's supposed to do twice a day. So the first day, he tries to pick his leg up and do the exercise. And guess what? It hurt. So you know what Nate did? Nothing. You're right. He didn't do the exercise. And then so the next day he's supposed to do them, but guess what? It still hurt. So guess what Nate did? Nothing. Well, this went on for a bit, and one day he gets a phone call from Selma Allen. Now, Selma's not here tonight. Selma was by training a physical therapist. That was her training, and she knew what Nate was going through. So she calls up Nate and starts asking him some questions. And he's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be doing this and doing that. Were you doing it? No. She said, well, you better get to doing it right now. And he's like, okay. And she says, if I don't hear back from you by 9:30, I'm coming over there. Well, she showed up at his house. Whereas Nate, in his mind, you know, to do the exercise, he needed to do this like 3 times. He told me this. He said, what I thought I was supposed to do for like 3 minutes, he said, Selma was over me for an hour. And he said, she had me doing stuff with that knee that I knew I shouldn't be doing because I, you know, in my mind, my body was telling me, no, we can't do that. I don't want to do that. But he said, from the day she left, every day he's done what he was supposed to do. And she told him, if you don't, I'm going to be back over here. And he's like, Lord knows. I'll just do it myself. And then he goes and he's going to a physical therapist on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And the day comes where they tell him, you're going to have to walk up these steps and put your weight on this, you know, on this leg. And he's like, I can't put my weight on the leg. It's not going to work. And the woman tells him, oh, yes, you are. Now, they've made him some promise that come 8 weeks, you're going to be running on it. So he's just thinking that's not really, but in your mind, you're hoping it's just going to magically happen. But the change is going to be a great change. Instead of being immobile with a leg that's useless, he's going to be functioning very well. That's a change he wants. But to get to that end, it's going to require something that he by himself, in himself, doesn't have. Something that he needs somebody else to help him with. And you know what? That could very likely be where you are with the changes you need to make in your life. It might be that you see out there's something, and there's a promise of it even. But there's some changes that I got to make to get there, and it's hard. It's painful. I don't think I can do it. It hurts. It's too much effort. It's going to take time. Whatever it is, we all got the stuff, man. We got the excuses. We do not lack for excuses. We have those. But we need something more. We need a catalyst to change. And your catalyst to change may well be some other people. That's what it was for Nate. That's what made the difference in his rehabilitation, which I love to say, Nate, you've been in rehab today? I love that. Nate, you going to rehab soon? I love that. Okay. Anyway. But you need that. Now I heard Henry Cloud, who we're watching the video series from in the back. He's one of the speakers on it. He wrote the book Boundaries. Okay, that guy. He said this. I read this. He said it a long time ago and it's always stuck with me. And he said this, if there's something that you need to make a change and you don't have it, then you need to find somebody else who does have it and borrow it from them. For example, look at it like this. If there's something that is required for what I'm dealing with and I don't have it, I would say that's a weakness or a deficiency. So I need to find somebody who does have that and borrow theirs. And I tell you, weight loss that many of us are embarked on here with Team Lean is a great example of this. Because weight loss requires putting less food in your mouth and better quality food in your mouth. But some of us, when we started last week, some people are like, what do I do? They didn't have knowledge. And so they started looking to borrow some knowledge from somebody. Well, some people have knowledge, got plenty of knowledge, but what they didn't have was self-discipline. Well, you can borrow self-discipline from other people. Because isn't that, some of you have been in AA and been part of that. Isn't that one of the keys in AA? Is that when you get up, you know, you finally get the gumption and you go, one of the first things they do is give you a sponsor. And that sponsor, it's their job to be on call for you when you're feeling weak. They will lend you their strength. You can call them day or night and say, I'm struggling. I'm about to take a drink. I'm having the thought that I need to. Something's going on, unrest. Something's happening and I'm going that way. I'm feeling the physical need for it. And you can tap into somebody else's self-control and borrow it. And they can talk you through it. Sometimes they'll come where you are. If they hear you're at the bar, they'll show up and take the glass out of your hand. They're there. Their purpose is to lend you something that you don't have. And that's what we can do for each other. Because we each have things that the others don't have. All of us have something that somebody else doesn't have. And we can do that for each other. That's what relationships are all about. That's what marriage is about. That's what family is supposed to be about. That you're giving, you're bringing and making available what you have and who you are to others. And offering it. And then they are taking it, but that's not the only part. In a healthy relationship, you're both giving and you're both taking. It's a mutual exchange. The Bible word for that is covenant. It's the whole idea. It's something that God designed us for. That I give you my strength and it makes you strong where you're weak, and you give me your strength and it makes me strong where I'm weak. And that's that mutual exchange. We all need that. And you especially need it when you're making changes. It's a key part of change. So think about that. What changes that you're making, or just in your life, the changes you know you need to make, what kind of strengths do you lack, or what is it that you lack that you need people on your team to lend you their strength? And I just have some things that I wrote down that I know. You might need someone. Well, I'll just give you a great example. I am a person, my strength is to come up with options. I'm really good at options. With me, you never run out of options. Just when you think you settled on an option, I just came up with seven more. Amen. It's the truth. So this is a strength of mine. I have options. I got that covered. I don't need your options. I have them. But you know what I struggle with? Closure. Settling on something and actually following through. So it's really interesting, because me, by nature, I'm a fast starter. I'm the first one out there. I'm on board and I got 20 things we're going to do. But, you know, but then I fizzle out. I'm just like done with it after just a few minutes and I'm on to something else. But God put me together with a man whose whole theme in life is finish strong. Well, I can tell you my theme is not finish strong. In fact, my theme has nothing to do with even finishing. Seriously. And I have so many unfinished things in my life, because finish isn't even on, you know, it's not even in my, thank God he put me with somebody who actually believes in finishing and finishes strong. Do you see that? So that's a real key for me. And we understand that about each other. We drove each other nuts for many years until we discovered, wait a minute. There's a reason we're together. So I start and he finishes. It's a brilliant thing. But it's just how we are. So he's on my team to help me finish. And we'll have meetings here. You know, we'll have like a executive team meeting here. And, you know, at some point he has to look over at me and say, okay, enough of that. What are we going to do? And how, you know, let's name three steps we're going to take here. Well, I'm not interested in that. I just want to talk about how great it was going to be. What we could do. He wants to know what we are going to do. Do you understand? So now, instead of me now we move to his strength. So thank God we have each other, and that's a team. And there's other things that we need. Now, my daughter Maddie Sue is not here to defend herself, but if you don't tell her, I'll tell you something about her. Maddie Sue is so funny. And I'm just seeing her. She's 25, and she's been through college and then through grad school, and she's in a fellowship now that they extended another year. And so she's coming to the end of that fellowship, and she's really going to have to get a real job. Not that she doesn't have a real job. I mean, they pay her and everything, but now she's got to make a decision. And it's so funny going through this process with her, because Maddie Sue is such that every time she gets interested in something, she applies for a job. She's sure she's not going to get an interview, and she gets an interview. And then I know they're not going to call me back, and they call her back. And then she knows she has no chance for the job. And then they offer her the job. And this happens to her. But then this is what she thinks. Well, they offered me the job. I could work there. I'll take it. And then I get really angry, because I'm like, what do you mean? You just saw this job posting, you applied for it, you went through the process, and now, and she said, well, I don't want to disappoint them. And I'm like, how can you even be my child? I don't understand. Except then I realized, oh, he's her father. And he told y'all on Sunday, one of his big weaknesses is people pleasing. And so she really needs me in her life to say to her, Maddie, there are other options. Are you going to take this job because the Lord is leading you to take this job? Or is it just because you don't want to disappoint the people? And then I just hear silence on the other end of the phone, and she'll go, yeah, no, I don't think it's the Lord. Okay. All right. I'm not going to apply for any more jobs until I know it's God, because I just keep going through this. And I'm like, yes, that's right. But she so much needs me or someone like me in her life to say to her, to challenge her when she's settling for something. You understand? So you might need someone in your life that challenges you when you're just trying to settle for something. This is good tonight, y'all. I'm helping you. And so when you're settling for something, you need somebody that can get in there and say, what are you doing? Is this really what you wanted? Is this really what God's leading you to do? Is this really where you're supposed to be going? Or is it just what turned up? But yet, Maddie has an amazing ability to flourish wherever she happens to be. And I've seen her, she's had all kind of different environments. She can get in that environment. She can build her a little nest, we call it. She's just incredible at that. So it's a real strength that she can flourish where she is. But the problem is when she just settles in at any place to, you know, and it's not God's best. So she needs somebody to push her into something else. So that's some way we can prod each other. So these are type things you might need somebody on your team about this. Because you might be a person that just sort of settles in life. Some people do that. They just kind of, well, this is a job. I need a job. I'll take this job. I've been in this job. They give me a paycheck every week. Seems pretty good. I like getting a paycheck. Life's, you know, I know this job. And maybe you're living far below your potential. And maybe what you need in this next, you know, change, really to bring change, is you need somebody who's kind of going to be a burr in your saddle that says to you, come on, there's more for you than this. There's a bigger life for you. There's more influence for you to have. There's more people for you to impact. There's something. And you need somebody who just continually reminds you of that. Maybe that's what you need on your team. A voice like that. I don't know. Maybe you just need somebody who can identify some very practical steps. Maybe you're sort of a dreamer and you just shoot for the moon, but you're not really shooting there. You're just shooting the breeze, as we used to call it. There's not really any viable steps of, well, why don't you pick up the phone and make a phone call here. And why don't you, you know, get an envelope and a stamp and write a letter to this. Maybe you need somebody can help you with some identifiable steps, because maybe that's part of the change you need. Maybe you need a new career, but you've just never gotten around to writing up a resume. Maybe you need somebody that can say to you, hey, you need to write a resume. Here's somebody to see. Boy, what a valuable person to have on your team, a practical person. Wouldn't that be awesome? Some of you are really good at this stuff. You can just do this. Some of you are really great at gathering information. Maybe you're a person you don't really know, like, where do I go to find that out? Maybe you see what I'm saying? There's different things we all bring, different things you might need. None of us has the corner on the market, so to speak. None of us has every trait that is needed. And so we might need somebody on our team in that way. Somebody who can encourage you, that can give you courage, who can help you be brave when fear sets in. Because with every change, you're going to face fear. How are you going to get past fear? With courage. What if you just had somebody on your team who encouraged you? Wouldn't that be awesome? Just whenever you were feeling afraid, there was somebody you could just, you knew they'd be there for you. You knew if you called them, they just by talking to them, your fears would dissipate and courage would come. You got anybody on your team like that? You need somebody on your team like that. You need to be. Maybe you are that for somebody else. Somebody that's just courage. Someone who's a comfort to you. Look for those people to be on your team. Somebody who can challenge you. That's one thing that Jim Newton has brought into our lives. Many of y'all know Jim Newton, the guy from Australia that we work so closely with. Jim, I tell you, you know what? Every time we talk to him, we Skype with him regularly. I talked to him last night. Every time that we communicate with him, whatever we tell him, no matter how great and glorious whatever it is we tell him is, he's like, yeah, but what more does God have? What more does the Lord want to do? And you're like, you must not have heard what I said. You need to talk to Tom Tiller. He can give witness. If you were here for the offering, you would have known what I'm talking about. He could tell you how great it is. And he'd be like, yeah, that's great. That's great. But what else is there? Thank God for him. I mean, we wouldn't have done the I Give Life course if it wasn't for him. And so many other things. He just challenges us in this big way. Thank God he's on our team. You know, and maybe you need somebody who will talk you down off the ledge. Let's face it. There are days like that, aren't there? I mean, just to be honest, I in the last several days have been that for somebody. Somebody was in a situation and they told me, I'm running. And I said, no, you're not. And they weren't on the ledge, but they were running. And I said, no, you're not. You're not running. You're going to stay with this. You're going to stay with this process. You're going to trust God and you're going to trust this process you're in. Because they're on a pathway to healing. But on your pathway to making changes, there can be great pain. And I've seen people bail. It looked like they were getting the help they needed and they bail because the pain became too great. See, when you spend your life masking the pain and, you know, in whatever way, whether it's with an addiction or a denial or whatever it is, and suddenly then you're going to deal with it, you're going to feel some pain. Did you know that? You're going to feel some pain. It's just like, well, we won't even get into the medical thing, but just think about it can be painful. You got a toothache and you go to the doctor and go to the dentist and it can hurt more. There can be pain. There usually is some pain. But you got to stay with the process. The process is the healing part. It'll take you. But if you want to, you know, it'd be like you're under the knife on the operating table and you're suddenly like the pain is too great and you're going to run. You're in big trouble. But I see people do it. You need somebody that at that really crucial moment, they're going to help you get a hold of yourself. And they're going to talk you down off the ledge if you need that. And somebody who'll get in your face. I mean, these are things that comfort you and somebody who'll get in your face. You need both of those. And some of us need more comfort and some, you know, in my life, there are times where I've told you before, I have a gift. I have a gift of bringing the catastrophic You know, I can take a normal situation that everybody's calm with and I can make it seem catastrophic. I have a real gift at that. I mean, everybody can be calm and boy, I can just whip you into a frenzy that I am Chicken Little's kindred spirit. The sky is falling. I thought Matt has told me many times I was having a good day until I talked to you. It's true. He was happy until he talked to me. Well, he didn't see what was going on. Because Chicken Little just showed up like, man, the sky is falling. Well, what I have had to learn in my life is that that is a weakness for me. Because it's a perversion of a gift God gave me that should be used for good, but then it gets perverted by the enemy to bring fear and anxiety and, you know, problems. And so what I have had to learn to do, now this just shows you how things, there are people in my life when I'm like, the sky is falling, that I have learned I can ask them, is the sky falling or is this just me? And they can adjust my perspective. Now I have, Matt told you on Sunday, he deals with issues of pleasing people. He wants to please people. So from him, I can be somebody that questions him like, why are you doing this? It seems to me that you might be trying to please somebody here. And even there have been times where I've even walked through with him. This is how you deal with it. This is what you need to say. And he's like, okay, okay. And I'm like, tell them this. This is not about being rude. It's just about you being truthful in the sense of setting a boundary. My problem is getting overly involved with people. Just like, I'm going to fix all your problems. And they're mine to fix. And I'm going to do it 20 hours a day. And not do anything else. But just be all involved with you and all your problems. Because I am the Savior. And so, it's so great that I have people on my team that can say to me, you are way too involved. Hang up the phone. Do something else. Quit talking to them. I was in one situation one time and Matt came to me and thank God he did save me a lot of problems. And he said, that was the last phone call you're ever going to have with her. You're done. You've given it all. There's nothing left. This is it. It's over. And I was like kind of miffed for a while. And now, man, I look back and I think, thank God somebody was looking out for me, because where I was weak, he was strong and he saved me. Thank God. Y'all getting anything? Y'all seen this? I got a couple scriptures I'm going to read to you. Then we're going to break into groups. James 5:16. It says, confess your trespasses. And that word trespasses means your slips, your deviation from the path, to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed, that you may get back on track. So there's something about you saying to other people, having people in your life who can you tell your slip ups to? And then Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Who is it that's stirring you up for love and good works? Who is it that's challenging you? Who is it that's saying there's more here, more for you? Do you have people on your team like that? And finally, Proverbs 27:17, something we quote all the time, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We sharpen each other. So who is it in your life that sharpens you? You need people on your team like that. Now I'm going to tell you, some of you, you have people in your life. When I describe these things, you have them. But all of us could be more intentional about building a team in our lives. It might be as simple as if you're making a change. I know, again, team lean. Some people may need, if you have trouble exercising and you know you need to do it, that's why they make physical trainers. You might need that. It's just somebody, their whole purpose is just accountability, give you accountability and give you some knowledge until you can grow to the point you don't need that anymore. You can hire these things. True? You can hire to your, to help you, whatever it is. But now it can't be they do it for you. You're making changes. We talked about last week. You're going to make changes on the inside. You're letting them lend you their strength until you can get strong in that area. You should be growing in it. You know, I'm much less likely to get overextended into people's lives than I used to be. Matt's much less likely now to be a people pleaser than he used to be because we've grown. Do you understand? And so that's what you're doing. You're growing in each other. So now we're going to, just a moment, we're going to separate out here, have a little group activity, and I'm going to ask you to get in groups of three, no more than four. But I want you to find two people you didn't come with tonight. You can be with people you've been with before. You can be with new people, whatever you want. Doesn't mean anything one way or another. And I'm just going to ask you to name one trait that, just as I've been talking here tonight, just one trait, one thing that you think, and maybe you just take a moment and reflect, what is one thing that you know you need on your team? One trait that you need from someone on your team? Something that you see, man, I could use that. That's something I feel like if I'm going to make the changes that the Lord's leading me to make, this is a trait, this is a characteristic, this is an element that I don't have. And as I'm looking here, I see I need somebody on my team that can bring that to me and bring that into my life. What is that? If you can come up with just one, even, that you could share in your group. And then let's just pray together and believe God together for Him to bring people into our lives. Because I have done that on purpose. I have believed God to bring people into my life to sharpen me. Bring people in my life that will fulfill different roles. And not, I'm not just looking to take. In the same time, it's opened up opportunities for me to be this for other people. For me to offer what I have. So it's always that thing. We're not trying to get a bunch of consumers here, a lot of takers. We're connecting because it'll be good for both of us, right? Blessed to be a blessing. But what is it? Because I know all of you have strengths. But what is it that you know that, man, that's something I struggle with, or that's a weak area. That's something I could really use some fortification in, some strengthening in. And then let's believe God together for Him to bring somebody in your life. That He would bring somebody. That's what you want. You want Him to bring somebody, don't you? It's not just you want to find somebody. You want Him. You want it to be the right help. It's not just help. You want the right help. Amen?